Thank you, everyone. I'm going to preach in English this morning. It's just amazing how God just confirmed, even in a dedication, how God confirms the word that He laid on my heart. But I felt that that I wanted to just talk about the Passover lamb and the feast of Passover. And when we come and we do Easter, we think of Jesus being crucified on the cross, and these people, and I'm one of them, that feel, and this is not to make anyone feel condemned, but that the festival of Easter is actually based on a pagan religion that came into the church when Constantine became, when he was the emperor of the Roman Empire in about 300 after Christ, and he felt that he became a Christian, and he said everyone had to become Christian. So he forced people to become Christians. And where God is just saying, you'll never force himself on anyone. So because these people were forced to become Christians, their hearts were never circumcised. Their hearts were never in it to become a Christian. So they had all these traditions and rules that they had that they brought into the religion, and Easter is one of them. The festival of Passover, which is the Jewish festival, was always on a certain time of the year, where Easter, for example, was the first moon after in spring in the northern hemisphere, and it had to do with queen worship, etc. And for example, the Easter bunny is a symbol for sex and fertility, and the Easter eggs as well. So I just wanted to say on that note, if there's any Easter eggs, rather just bring them to me, especially the ones without anything in it, and I will make sure that it gets thrown away. And also the croissants as well, and it must be hot. It's a sacrifice to the Lord. Bring them to me, and I will make sure that it gets written. So I'm not saying there's anything wrong with this. I'm just saying bring them to me, and I'll consume them for you. But the Passover festival, it was also called the Pascha festival, was in the barley harvest. Barley is used to make a certain type of bread and beer, which is actually a great festival. It was in the month of Nisan. On the 14th was Passover, and with that went the next day was the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and then the first day after the Sabbath after Passover was then the Feast of First Fruits, which was normally 3 days after the Passover. Now, when Jesus in John 12 said, I just want to see if my, when he said in John 12, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. When Jesus said this, he already knew that he was going to be sacrificed, and he knew it for us as well, that as long as we live for our own agendas, we will never come to a place where God has called us for. And I had a picture with a fire in the mountain with a fynbos. Fynbos needs fire for the fynbos to grow. But if there's any plants that's not fynbos, it will destroy it. So sometimes God sends fire over our lives, and it destroys all the things that is not from the Lord. But if you are fynbos, it will make you to grow even better. So sometimes fire is good when it comes over your path. And this is where Jesus was as well. He knew he had to walk through the fire so that he can live and grow from there. So this Pascha history, where did it come from? What's his name? Jacob had 12 sons. Joseph was sent to Egypt because his brothers didn't like him much. Eventually, the brothers came to Egypt as well. 400 years they lived in Egypt, and they became slaves of the Egyptians. They built all the pyramids, etc. They were slaves, and God gave Moses a calling. Moses was brought up in the house of Pharaoh. He was royalty, but he had a heart to let the people for the Hebrew people to be set free. When he was 40 years old, he killed that Egyptian man. It was 40 years before he was actually called. He tried to do it in his own strength. God sent him to the desert to sort out his heart. Then at 80 years, God appeared to him in the burning bush and he said, Moses, I'm using you now to take my people from Egypt into the promised land. He went to Pharaoh with his brother. He said, Pharaoh, you must let my people go. But Pharaoh's heart was hardened. And this is what Dion also said this morning. What I felt God saying to me is we allow our hearts to be hardened. And when God speaks and he gives us instructions, our heart is hardened to God. And what happened to Pharaoh was his firstborn was killed and he lost his army and he lost his destiny because of a hardened heart. And I just want to bring this before you as well this morning that we should not harden our hearts when God starts speaking to us. God sent the 10 plagues. With the 10th one, he said to all the Hebrew people, go into your house, take a lamb without blemish, spot or blemish. You've got to slaughter it. Put the blood on the post, on the sides as one. When you think later on the top of it was in the middle and the two sides on the sides. So already there you could see the cross of Jesus in this festival. And then the families who had the blood on the post, they would go inside and wait. They didn't know whether the angel of death was going to pass them by or not. They just had to have faith that the blood was going to cover them. So inside they were probably worried, thinking, what if it doesn't work? Or they would just say, I'm putting my trust in God. He's going to do it for me. But the fact is, if there was blood, they were passed by. It doesn't matter how they felt. It was because of the blood of the Lamb that was already there. Then the angel of the Lord came and he killed everyone who didn't have the blood. But he passed over the houses with the blood. And then Moses said to the people, okay, now we must go. And there was probably a million of them that had to go out of Egypt, out of the old life, through the Red Sea. When they came to the Red Sea, they thought, oh my word, what now? And if you look at False Bay, this is not even what they could see. They couldn't see to the other side. Moses took his staff, he opened the sea, and they went through it. Pharaoh's heart hardened again, and he came, and he wanted to kill them. With all his army, he came. As soon as the people was through the water, Moses closed, and all of Pharaoh's army got destroyed. Now, there's a man, Walter Wife. He says, after that, all the Pharaoh's names had names of God in it. That this whole thing changed the Egypt way of thinking, that they all became followers of the God of the Israelites, which I thought was very, very interesting. Now, someone at Fiskalk and Leonie work, that it's so important for you to cover your child with the blood of Jesus. And this is what the Israelites did. They covered themselves and their children, especially the firstborn, with the blood of Jesus. And because of that, there was a covering, there was protection over their lives. Now, for me as well, when we become Christians, there's a place when we accept the blood of Jesus, as they did with the slaughtered lamb. They make a decision. And if you were not circumcised, you could not partake in Passover. So you had to make a decision, an outward decision, to be circumcised so that you become a Hebrew, that you can partake in this festival. Then after that, once you've made the decision to follow the God of the Hebrew people, which is Jesus, there was a place where you go through the Red Sea, which we believe is a baptism. You go under the water and you come out. You leave your old lifestyle, the life of slavery behind. You go through the water and you go to the promised land. Then there was a phase when they were in the desert. They were only meant to be 11 days in the desert, but because of their hardened heart and the slave mentality that they had, and moaning and complaining, instead of being only 11 days in the desert, it took them 40 years. Most of them never saw the promised land because their hearts were hardened. Only two men could go through, Caleb and Joshua, because their hearts were for God. They put their trust completely in God. The other people, even because they believed in God, they never saw the promised land because they doubted and they complained and they were critical. Their hearts weren't pure before God. So to come back to the instructions of Passover, which is interesting, all the instructions that they had to do was leading is leading us, he's pointing us to Jesus. Just interesting, is that not? I just want to see if you can see my nice pictures. I worked quite until late last night to get all of them. So I want you to see them. The household lamb was without spot or blemish, and it was chosen on the 10th day on the month of Nisan. It was inspected for 5 days. They inspected this lamb for 5 days, the same as Jesus was inspected. I'll come to that now. On the 5th day, they would bring the lamb to the doorpost. They would slaughter it, take the blood, put it on the doorpost of the door. Then the entrance was covered by the lamb. The lamb had to be killed at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Then the lamb was roasted or spit, open like that, like Jesus was, and it was spitted. And then 6 o'clock, before 6 o'clock, which was the Sabbath, because the Jewish calendar worked like this: 6 o'clock at night was the beginning of the new day until 6 o'clock the next day. So before 6 o'clock, when the Sabbath, they had to be finished with what they were eating. Nothing was had to be left for the next day. No bones was to be broken, and no uncircumcised person could partake in this feast. And this was the Lord Passover. In Exodus 12, verse 13, it says that the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So Passover to the Hebrew people was a time of joy. This was a time when they were set free from slavery, set free from the working as slaves in Israel to coming to the promised land. So they would sing Psalm 113 to 118, that musical instruments, the trumpets, the harps, flutes, tambourines, cymbals, and they would sing, praise the Lord, the Lord is my strength. They would sing hallelujah, raise their hand. It was a time of joyous celebration for the Jewish people. And they would, Psalm 118 verse 24, that says, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will be glad and we will rejoice and be glad in it. This is what they would proclaim, because they used to be slaves. Now they've been set free. And then John the Baptist came and he said, behold, the Lamb of God. And he was pointing to Jesus. Jesus was the Lamb of God. He was the sacrifice that Paul was talking about. He was the sacrifice that came. For 1,500 years, the Jews or the Hebrew people would celebrate this festival. 1,500 years. And then in John 12, 6 days before Passover, Jesus came to Bethany. And then the next day, he got these disciples to bring a donkey, and he entered Jerusalem on the donkey. And as he entered in the donkey, the people shouted, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. So this was the first time Jesus said, I am the Messiah. And when he said, I am the Messiah, he was the lamb without spot or blemish. And everyone started looking at him. Is he the Messiah? Is he the Messiah? And the Pharisees and the Sadducees started asking him all these questions to try and catch him out. And they would ask him about the taxes, who should we pay our taxes to? And he says, took the coin, whose face is on it? Caesar's face. And he would answer them with all these questions, and they tried to trick him into, to see if he was the Messiah or if he wasn't. Eventually, they got so upset they had him arrested. They started hitting him. They started spitting on him. They took him to Pilate. Pilate interrogated him, or he spoke to him, and he said, I find no fault with this man. So Jesus was faultless before all men. Only the high priest said, but he blasphemed against God because he said that he is the Son of God. But because the high priest believed that he lied, but he couldn't have lied if he was the Son of God. If he was the Son of God and he said, I am the Son of God, he didn't lie. So still, he didn't sin in any way. In this time when Jesus also said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That Jesus said that, I am the Messiah. If you don't believe in me, you will not go to heaven. If a good person is a follower of Buddha or Islam or whatever other religion, you will not go to heaven, because good people, as Angus Bachan always says, good people don't go to heaven, but believers in Jesus Christ will go to heaven. Now, when Jesus, I don't know if you saw the movie, The Passion of the Christ, when they hit him, the blood was starting to flow. At 9 o'clock in the morning, they crucified him. When they crucified him, they took all the lambs. The priest would come and he put all the lambs together and they would start preparing the lambs to be slaughtered. At that time, Jesus was being crucified and he was hanging on the cross. At 12 o'clock, there was total darkness. 3 o'clock, he died. When he died, the priest would go and he would start slaughtering all the lambs. And when he was done, he would walk out and he would open his arms like this and he said, "It is done." At that moment, our high priest hung on the cross and he said, "It is done. I've taken everything for you." So the whole festival, the Pascha festival, was fulfilled by Jesus to the date, to the time, or to the hour, to the day, to the hour, to the month, to the day, to the hour. Everything that what the priest did, he did. And even the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the priests couldn't see that what they were doing is what was being prophesied for 2,500 years, 1,500 years was being prophesied. And there are so many prophecies that at that time came true. So his bones wasn't broken. And Dion spoke to me earlier. I know that there's life in the blood. It says so in the Old Testament in Leviticus. There's life in the blood. But the bone, there's marrow in the bone and it produces blood. Maybe the doctors can help me right there. But what I understand is that that's probably one of the reasons why his legs couldn't have been broken. And as he was hanging on the cross for him to breathe, he had to like lift up his body like this to breathe. And he breathes out again. And this was what he had to go through for hours to sustain. And that's why they came afterwards to break the legs of the men so they couldn't lift themselves up to breathe anymore, and they just suffocated and they died because they couldn't hang. Nobody could hang on the cross on the Sabbath. Even when they pierced him, that was also prophesied in Psalms, the blood and the water that came out, and they said, "This is the man of God." And you know, we many times read about the crucifixion, and we see it as a nice story, but Psalm 27 verse 51 says, "Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The most holy place of God was torn in two. No one could see what happened behind this veil, but it was torn at that moment. The earth quaked and the rocks were split." The earth quaked and the rocks were split. It probably what happened here in Japan, there was an earthquake, the rocks split, and graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. So dead people were starting to stand up, and coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. And then even this centurion said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." So to the T, everything that was prophesied about Jesus came true at that moment when he was crucified to the very hour. And 500 years before, and I'm going to read a lot of scripture from here, but Isaiah prophesied this about Jesus. This was written 500 years before Jesus was crucified. Isaiah verse 52, I'm just going to, "For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of all." So they already, God said that the iniquity, the sins of everyone would be laid on him. "He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. When they asked him, they hit him, he didn't say anything, he just took it. Most of us will say, 'Sorry, but it wasn't me. It wasn't, you know, why are you hitting me?' He didn't even say a word. like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken by the transgression of people, and they made his grave with the wicked. There was hanging wicked men next to him on the cross, and with a rich man in his death, he was buried in a rich man's tomb. Although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth, yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. And you know, when my little boy ran to me and he saw me and his eyes opened and he ran to me, yet God the Father said it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief when his soul makes an offering for guilt. He shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And then out of anguish, his soul, I'm just going to skip that. And then the last verse said, yet he bore the sins of many and makes intercession for the transgressions. So when Jesus hung on the cross, he paid the price for all of us. It's done. It's finished. We don't have to feel guilty about anything anymore because he paid the price. He was afflicted like that for so long so that we don't have to feel guilty. We don't have to do works, do things to impress God anymore. We can just come before God because he has already paid the price. All that he says is just believe in me. Just put your trust in me. That's all that you have to do. You don't have to do anything anymore. You can't impress me anymore. You can just come to me. Philippians 2 verse, I'm just going to read from verse 7. I just want to see if he said, but he made himself, this is Jesus, made himself nothing. Taking the form of a servant, he came to serve us, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. So Jesus humbled himself, and I just want to say this morning, who are we to have pride in our hearts? How can we think we are better than anyone else when Jesus came and said he'll humble himself before us and died? And there wasn't something around his waist. He was completely naked on the cross. He took all the shame, all the sin, all the disease on him, to the point of death, even on the cross. Therefore, God has exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. All of us will stand before God and we all will know that Jesus is the King. All of us will confess that all our knees will bow before him. It doesn't matter where you come from, but we all will stand before God. We had friends over for supper on Thursday night, and they said they heard of a testimony. This is a story, so I can't say it's my own story. It's just a story that I heard. It could be false. I don't know. It's not in the word. But see, this lady had an encounter where she went to heaven and hell, and she said Jesus was crying when people come, and the devil said, he's mine, he's mine, he's mine. And Jesus cried when they came to him because he could do nothing, because they didn't take it. He already paid the price. He's done it all. All that they had to do was accept him, and they walked past him. Now the next part of this festival is the unleavened bread that I want to talk about. 7 days after the Passover, the Hebrew people would clean their house, they spring clean the house, and they would eat unleavened bread. Leaven is like sourdough, sierdeeg, of yeast. It's used to make the bread rise. So they wouldn't use it. They eat this pizza broekies, but I think like nicer it is. They would eat that, but leaven was seen as sin. So they had to focus on their sin that they would eat this thin bread. And when Jesus was here, he said, "I am the bread of life." He said, this festival that you're doing, that's me. I'm paying the price. You don't have to focus on sin anymore. And although we know sin is destructive and it destroys us, he just said it, and it keeps us in bondage. God says he did not give us a spirit of slavery to fall into fear, but he's given us a spirit of adoption by whom we can call him Abba Father. That we don't have to worry about the sin anymore because Jesus had paid the price. Now, a psalm that really meant so much for me especially when I was going through this tough time and I felt so convicted and guilty about all my sin, this psalm really changed my life. 103 verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities. God forgives all our iniquities. He heals all your diseases, not one or two of them. He heals all of it. Who forgives, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like an eagle. And in verse 8 it says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Then verse 10 he says, he does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is the steadfast love towards those who fear him, for those who believe in him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. So when we come before God and say, Lord, I have sinned, he says, as far as the east is from the west, it's done, it's finished. When he hung on the cross and he said, it's done, it's done. He doesn't think of it anymore. It's the devil that accuses you, and it's our friends and family that accuses us. But God has forgot about it already. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. And then verse 17 says, but the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to those who fear him, and his righteousness to the children's children. So with this unleavened bread, where they were so focused on sin, Jesus came to fulfill this festival as well. And he said, there's no more sin. I've paid the price. You don't have to eat the bread anymore. You don't have to clean the house anymore, because I've done it for you. And then the last festival that they would do was the festival, the Sabbath, was the day after the Sabbath, which was the offering of the first fruit. And when Jesus died, he went down to hell. He overcame the devil, and he came back, and he was the first fruit of the new covenant. Jesus was the first fruit, and he overcame that festival as well. So we don't have to, we can know that Jesus is not dead, he's risen, but he's not only risen, he sits on the right hand of God the Father, and he's interceding for us day and night. And I just felt as well that I just want to bring back the circumcision of the heart. When he came back as the first fruit, it wasn't anymore that we had to be circumcised, but he wanted our hearts to be circumcised. He wanted our hearts to be clean before him. Just that place of being humble, know the love of God, the joy of the Lord, being in peace with who Jesus is, goodness, faithfulness, kindness, friendliness, self-control. It's that place that where you're in Jesus, because you know who Jesus is, then the fruit of the Spirit will manifest through you. And you know, we prayed on Wednesday, and this, my one friend said, there's people who are resisting to be baptized, and the first fruit offering, when the sin, Jesus died and we die with him, and then we raised with him in Christ. And this is also the symbolism of baptism, and that's why we don't baptize or christening the babies. We allow people to make a decision first, because like Constantine forced Christianity on these people, we don't want to force anyone to be christened and say, now you're a Christian because as a baby I put a mark on you, now you will have to follow Christ. God never forced himself on anyone. He gives us the choice. Do we want to follow him? If we don't want to follow him, he's not going to force us. And we as Christians shouldn't force people if they don't want to follow him. He said, count the cost first. If you want to follow me, count the cost. And then make a decision if you want to follow me. And if you then follow him, you put the blood on the doorpost, you go through the Red Sea, and you leave Egypt behind, and you go to the promised land. And this is what the baptism is meaning. And this, so I'm going to just read quite a long scripture again, but it's Romans 6. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by the baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lived to God. So you must also consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing, amazing news? And then verse 17, he says, but thanks be to God that you were once slaves of sin, but have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. And then verse 22 says, but now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you lead to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life, Christ Jesus our Lord. So it's a gift. It's not something that we have to work for. It's a gift. We can just accept it. And that's so amazing of a gift. You know, I heard Joyce Meyer, she brought a lot of children forward and she gave them money. And the children just took, oh, thank you. We love you, Joyce. We love you. And they took the money. And she said afterwards, you know, if I had brought all the people here, and she said, we must come to God as children. If I had brought all the people there, she said, no, Joyce, I don't deserve it. I've been really sinful. Don't give it to me. But children, when Jesus says, come to me like children, she said, oh, thank you. They just take the money. When we come to God and he says, this is a gift, it's for free, we shouldn't say, no, sorry, I don't deserve it. None of us deserve it. But Jesus had paid the price for us already. I just want to see. I've got not too much time left. Okay, there's a prophetic meaning of this Hebrew festival. So if you can just, I actually wanted to just quickly talk you through it. But how Passover was fulfilled by Jesus and by the church, and in the where we're coming to the Feast of Trumpets, where they are believing that we are in this guy Richard Booker, he believes that we are defeating the enemy, but I'm actually believing that we're in the next phase, the Day of Atonement, where God is purifying the bride, he's baptizing us in fire, where so many Christians that I see are taking strain, but I think it's actually so amazing because God is starting to cleanse his bride for his coming. And this is the last one, the tabernacles, the last one where he's coming again. So I really believe that Jesus is going to come soon, very soon. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21 says, God has made him who had no sin to be sin for us, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Now, when you look at this, you just realize God, he really suffered so that we don't have to suffer anymore. And this is the choice that he wants us to make. This is the choice that Dion also said this morning. Have you come to a place where you will not harden your heart anymore? When you say, Lord, please take this heart of stone and give me a heart of flesh and make a decision to serve Jesus. Are you at that place where you want to say, I want to follow this man who said that he was the Son of God? Psalm 81, can we all just stand, please? Psalm 91 says that he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and the deadly pestilence. And then in verse 9 it says, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Lord, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. And then you will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot, because he holds fast to me in love. I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. When you call to Jesus, he will answer you. I will be with you in trouble, the Lord says. I will rescue you and I will honor you. With a long life, I will satisfy you and I will show you my salvation. Father, thank you, Lord God, that you have paid the price, Lord God. Lord God, that when we as Christians, Lord, can come before you, Lord, that we shouldn't come, Lord God, with depression, Lord God, before you, Lord God. We shouldn't come before you, Lord God, and feel guilty, Lord God, and feel we're not worth it, Lord God. And Lord God, that you've given us all these promises, Lord God, and why is it not happening, Lord God? Father, this morning, we just come and say thank you, Lord, that you've paid the price for everything, Lord God. You've paid the price for our salvation, Lord God, for our sin, Lord God, for our healing, for our futures, Lord. That, Lord God, as this word said, that if you were with us, you'll send your angels, Lord. Your angels will surround us, Lord God. But we must just accept this gift, Lord God. That we can't ever deserve this gift, Lord God. And Father, we just come before you. And Lord, we just say, Lord God, today we want to make a decision. And while every eye is closed, I want to ask you this morning, is your heart hardened to the instruction of God? Are you like Pharaoh that is resisting God? And are you maybe in that place where you will lose your firstborn, you will lose your inheritance because you've allowed your heart to be hardened? A friend of mine, he was the second cell leader that I had in this church. He said to us on a Friday that he gave his heart to the Lord. He said he realized that if he must die today, he will go to hell. And he made a recommitment to the Lord. And all that he wants to talk to about is heaven and hell. That's all he wants to talk about. But this is someone that I looked up to for many years. He was my cell leader. He was spirit-filled, born again, praying in tongues. But this man came to a place where he said, if I die now, I will go to hell. His heart has been hardened. If your heart is hardened this morning, or if you have maybe never made a decision to serve Jesus, after what you've seen, what he's done for you, he's giving you the option, he's giving you the choice today. He's saying to you, you must count the cost. But if you want to make a decision to serve me, to follow me, I want you to raise your hand. If you today want to give your heart to the Lord, or you want to come and make a recommitment to the Lord, I want you to raise your hand. Thank you. Lord, thank you, Lord God, for that hand, Lord God. But Father, there are people here, Lord God, that who wants to, they've been serving you, Lord God. They walk the walk, Lord, but they don't talk the talk, Lord God. They, Lord God, they are hearers of your word, Lord God, but they're not doers of the word, Lord God. And they've grown cold in their heart. If that is you as well, I want you to respond to this call. As those other hands, if you feel comfortable that we can pray with you, that we can introduce you to the Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross, who died, he was in the grave for 3 days and he's risen, he's sitting on the right hand of God. I want you to come forward and stand so that we can pray with you. And then there's also people who are resisting to be baptized. You know that you must be baptized, but you're resisting the call to be baptized. If you want to be baptized, I'm not going to call you forward, but I want you to raise your hand. If you know you've got to be baptized, you must go under the water and out of the water. If anyone is here this morning that know they need to be baptized, I just want you to raise your hand as well. Okay. For those people who feel they want to be baptized, I'm going to ask you just to come forward later on. We are going to baptize someone today, and if you want to, otherwise we can just talk about something another time. And then the last thing, there are people with unforgiveness in their heart. God has died on the cross, and he said, I've given you all your sins. But you struggle to forgive people who are doing things to you. You can't forgive those people. And God said that if you do not forgive, how can I forgive you? If you can forgive that person and even yourself, if you can't forgive yourself, How can I forgive you? I've paid the price already for you. If someone is here struggling with unforgiveness, as jy sukkel om iemand te vergewe, wil ek net vra dat jy jou hand opsteek, dat ons vir jou spesifiek kan bid. Thank you. And that person, the people with the unforgiveness, can you just come forward as well that we can pray for you? I think this is something that is very serious, that we don't, that we will, when God says that one man who, he forgave him all his debt, and then he couldn't forgive another man the debt, and then the first man was put into the jail afterwards because he couldn't forgive. And then if there's anyone with healing, that needs healing or sickness, Jesus says, by my stripes who are healed, it's not our prayers, but it's the blood of Jesus that covers the blood, that you also just come forward that we can pray for you for healing in Jesus' name.
Daar is iemand wat pijn in sy rug het, hier so aan die rechterkant, so amper soos in die middel, en wat vir healing vorentoe moet kom, dat ons vir die persoon kan bid, asseblief.
I just, Lord Father, we just want to come before you, Father, as well, Lord God. And Lord, as Moses came to Pharaoh, Lord God, and he said, let my people go, Lord God. Father, we this morning, Lord God, come to you, Lord God. And we say, Lord God, we declare, Lord God, we say to the devil, let God's people go in Jesus' name, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that you've paid the price already, Lord God. And Father, we pray, Lord God, that we will not stay in Egypt, Lord God, that we will not allow our hearts to be broken, to be hardened, Lord God. And Father, I pray, Lord God, for every heart, Lord, that's still resisting you, Lord God, to just open to you, Lord God. Just come and say, Lord, I'm not caring what anyone is saying, but I want to respond to you. Father, that you will just come and supernaturally, Lord God, that you will heal that back, Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord God. That back that's hurt in the right side, Lord God, that you will supernaturally heal that back, Lord God. That person will know that you love them intensely, Lord God, that your hand, your heart is completely for that person, Lord God. And Lord, that we will not resist you in any way, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord God. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God. Yes, Lord, we just honor you, Lord God. We just thank you, Lord God. Is there anyone that feels they want to respond to this word? And with the rest of us, if you just want to, just in this time where we're talking, people are celebrating the crucifixion, that we can celebrate Jesus that's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And we can celebrate the fact that our Jesus is coming back on a white horse. And there will be blood dripping from the side, but there will be a sword coming from his mouth. But Jesus is coming back for the bride, for a pure bride. And we just celebrate in that. And we just say, thank you, Lord, that we can be part of this, of your church, of your body, Lord God. And thank you, Lord God, for your blood, Lord God, that you had shed the blood for us, Lord God, and that we can come to that place where we just say, Lord God, we lay down our lives, our own hearts to you. And Father, I know these two men, Lord God, that still, they've been resisting you for many years now, Lord God. And I want to say to you tonight, this morning, respond to God. I want you to respond to God this morning. Those two men, you know who you are. Respond to the call of God. Respond to the God. Don't let your heart be hardened to what God is saying to you. Respond to what God is saying to you in Jesus' name. Yes, thank you, Lord God. We just speak a blessing, Lord God, over every person, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, for your love for us, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, that we can walk and that we've been set free, Lord God. We just release, Lord God, your goodness and your love over every person, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. We just bless you, Lord God. In your name, Lord God, we bless them in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen. Thank you very much. You more than, I hope we've got coffee. We have coffee. You're more than welcome to come have some coffee with us. If there's any questions or anything that you want to ask, if there's anyone still that feel they want to respond and they need prayer, you're more than welcome to come forward. Thank you and enjoy your Sunday. Amen.